Yesterday, we started yesterday trying to learn a little bit about the Matnas Kahuna. We're going to try to do so in an organized way. But before we go through the individual Matnas Kahuna, so what we're going to really be trying to do is to go through one or two sort of basic overview sugyas that are important. And today we're speaking about a sugya. It comes up in the Tosfos in Bava Metzia on Daf Vav. And it's a sugya of Makirei Kahuna. Makirei Kahuna. I don't see Sam right now, which is a little disappointing because we're going to quote with Warman in a little bit. Or maybe we won't now. We're going to see what's... I see you, Sam. You're great. So now we're all good. I apologize. I wasn't assuming you weren't there. I was assuming I couldn't see you. That's it. Let's begin as follows. In general, when it comes to the Matnas Kahuna, so there is a minimum with a lot of them, we'll see, a lot of flexibility for who exactly you give it to. If a person is established and known to be a Kohen, so you have the right to choose which Kohen you're going to give it to. So as an example, for Pidyon HaBen, you have the right to choose which Kohen are you going to give your money to. For Truma, you have the right to decide to give who you're going to give it to. This is referred sometimes as Tovas Hana'a. We'll speak about that potentially on Sunday, or maybe we'll see if we have time. But that's at least part of the discussion when it comes to Matnas Kahuna, is the choice and the power of that choice and the status of that choice for which Kohen exactly you want to give it to. The Gemara in Maseches Gidin and the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra discuss a concept called Makirei Kahuna. Makirei Kahuna means that if there is someone that you consistently give your Matnas Kahuna to, that day in, day out, they are always the recipient of Natalia's walking right now to discover things have changed. If you always give it to the same person, so something called Makirei Kahuna. Makirei Kahuna means, and we'll define exactly what this is, but there is a different relationship between those Matnas Kahuna and the actual Kohen. And even before I physically delivered it, there is already a unique connection between the recipient, the Kohen, and the gifts themselves. So if I always give my truma to the same person, so that person is considered on some level to have a particular connection, maybe even is already the owner before it is given over. That is a discussion, that is the din of Makirei Kahuna, found in several contexts in the Gemara. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us that Makirei Kahuna impacts a halacha about Yerusha. Typically, when it comes to Yerusha, a Bechor, the firstborn son, gets a double portion. But the Gemara tells us that the din of a Bechor getting Pishnayim, he only gets Pishnayim of that which is Muchzak, that which is already firmly established in the property of the father before he passes away. If there's a payment which is going to come in the future, it's Ra'oi, but not there right now. So the Bechor does not get a double portion of that. He gets the same singular portion that everyone else gets. That's the din in Yerusha. The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, Andaf Kuf Chav Gemel, that when it comes to Makirei Kahuna, when it comes to gifts that you always give to a particular Kohen, so even before it's delivered, that's considered to be Muchzak. So if the father was a Kohen, you always gave him your Truma, so even though you didn't actually deliver it yet, the father's considered to be Muchzak on those Matnas Kahuna, and the nafka mina is that his son, the Bechor, would get Pishnayim. It's already considered to be Muchzak. That's the basics of this halacha of Makirei Kahuna. Two other basic pieces of information to be aware of as far as establishing and setting a particular tone. The next is that while we know that there are different Makirei Kahuna, different Matnas Kahuna, it is pretty clear that they apply to a variety of the Matnas Kahuna, if not all of them, or at least a variety of them. We'll speak about some of the others, about some of the Kachim in a little bit. But it applies, the Gemara Baba Basra tells us, to the Zroa, Lechayayim, and Keva, three parts of an animal, the Matnos Behema, that always go to a Kohen. Those things we say Makirei Kahuna. The Gemara in Maseches Gidin speaks about in the context of Truma, that the fruit of my produce, I separate a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th to give to a Kohen. That also, we apply the din of Makirei Kahuna. So we apply it at least to a variety of the Matnas Kahuna. The last thing to point out is that there is an interesting question. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Eruvin on Daf Samach Gimel, the Rambam quotes this in Perush HaMishnah Tuchulin, in the end of Perek Yud, that it actually is not a good thing to always give your matnas kahuna to the exact same kohen. The Gemara tells us if you bring and you give your matnas kahuna to the exact same kohen every time, you are maybe ra'av le'olam. It's like you brought a famine to this world. It's not so clear how that fits with the general halacha of makire kahuna. The Rashash writes in Erevin that the Rambam never quotes that halacha. The Rambam never says you shouldn't give your matnas kahuna to the same kohen day in, day out. You shouldn't consistently give it to the same person because of the din of makire kahuna. So even though the Gemara in Erevin implies it's not good to give your matnas kahuna to the same person day in, day out, the impression that you get from the din of makire kahuna, from the way the Rambam paskins in Mishnah Torah, is that there's no problem whatsoever giving your matnas kahuna to the same kohen every single time. So let's say if your boss is a kohen, he's the Rosh Hashiva, and he's a kohen, and you want to give your matnas kahuna to the same person every single time, so the Gemara in Erevin implies it's not the best idea, but some of the Achronim point out that there really probably is not a problem with that, and it would be fine. That's the din of makire kahuna. That's the din of makire kahuna. There is a one fundamental question, and we're going to frame the issue from a particular angle, which is, what exactly happens in makire kahuna? Here I am, I have truma, which I always give to a kohen, but I haven't yet given it to him. But on some level, Chazal seemed to tell us that even before I actually gave it to him, he is already considered to be the owner. I haven't delivered it yet. I haven't done a Maisa Kinyan. Yet, despite the fact that I have not done a Maisa Kinyan, on some level, the Kohen himself appears to already become the owner. And the question is, why is that so? Or how is that so? There's no Maisa Kinyan, so how does he become the owner of these items, of the Matnas Kahuna? He's the owner, again, akadekach, that his status is muchzak. It's like it's in his property already, and therefore his children are able to, his bechor is going to get pishnayim. So how exactly does it work? Clarity as far as thus far? One, two, and... Okay. So we're going to try to organize everything into three categories. We're going to focus much more on the third category because it's the most relevant for us. One way of understanding the sugya has the sugya in many ways being a chiddush in the world of kinyanim. A chiddush in the world of kinyanim. This is how the Rashash understands the Rashbam in Baba Basra on Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. This is how Rav Elchanan and Kovei Chi'urim understand Tosfos in Baba Basra. That in many ways the din of Makire Kahuna is predicated upon a chiddush in the world of kinyanim. That we referenced this earlier this year, that normally every kinyan requires a Maisa kinyan. Every kinyan requires an action to be done. But there is some evidence, a Tovos and Ksuvis and Daf Kuf Beis, a Tovos and Mesach Bechoros, and Daf Yiches, I believe, that maybe there are situations in which it's so clear what you're going to do. It is so obvious to us what your desire and your das is that there is no need to do a Maisa Kinyan at all. That there's no need to do a Maisa Kinyan whatsoever. In that sense, the Rashash understands, L'chora for the Rashbam, Rav Elchanan understands for Tosfos and Baba Basra, that that's what's happening in the din of Makire Kahuna. That because normally I have to give something over to transfer ownership, but not in Makire Kahuna. It's so clear to us, it's so obvious to us, that the Kohen is going to be the recipient, that even if I never do a Maisa Kinyan, my Das Kinyan alone is considered to be strong enough. My Das Kinyan alone is considered to be strong enough. If you recall from earlier in the year in Baba Metzia, we referenced at the time the Chazon Ish in Choshen Mishpat and Simen Chav Beis, Rav Yosef Engel in Tziyunim LaTorah, that there are Achronim, Yosef Engel in particular, that proves from this that in general, when it comes to Kinyanim, the Maisa Kinyan, doing the action, is less critical. What's more critical is knowing that you have a commitment, that you've das, that you want to transfer something. Normally, you only do a Maisa to show that you have das. It's normally the only way we know that you actually intend to transfer this object. But when it comes to Makire Kahuna, when it's so obvious what you want to do, you always give your truma to the same person. So then we would say there's no need for a Maisa Kinyan. The ownership transfers automatically. That means that in many ways, Makire Kahuna is a very fundamental sugya for the world of Kinyanim. A very fundamental sugya for the world of Kinyanim. Not as critical for us in the lens of Matnas Kahuna, but again, a very fundamental sugya in the world of Kinyanim. That's approach number one. That's approach number one. There is a second Mahalach. Yeah, Jonah, what's up?
Does this relate to the Bhagavan of Rabbi Yehoshua about Yehoshua and the gods?
Okay.
Same as having...
I happen to think that there's a lot of similarities with a lot of the sugyas in the second parak about the role of Das impacting your relative ownership and the like. It's somewhat different as far as transferring ownership or giving up ownership, but there is enormous overlap. Very much with you on that. Yes. And beautiful picture and painting in the background. The next mahalach, again, there's a lot more. It's a very large sugya. But the next mahalach is to view things through a somewhat different lens. Maybe the primary chiddush of Makire Kahuna is actually a little bit different than we initially thought. The Kohen doesn't become the owner. Even if I always give my truma to the Kohen does not really become the owner. But rather, what Tosfos and Baba Basra implies, at least, this is how the Ktos understands Tosfos and Baba Basra. It's how, I believe, Rabbi Yona understands Tosfos and Baba Basra also. That is the following. All Makire Kahuna means, says Tosfos, is that you can't really go back. That even though he's not the owner yet, it's also for me to give it to a different Kohen. So it's still in my property right now. Just I have a chiyav, I have a commitment to give it over to someone else. I have an obligation, to the best of my ability, to hand it to another person. That's what I have to. That's what I am supposed to be doing on some level. But there's no real Kinyan Gamor at all taking place. Rabbi Yona understands it like that, as does the Ktos. If that's so, wonders Rabbi Yona. If all it is usher for me to give over, but you're not really considered to be the owner, so asks Rabbeinu Yonah, so why is the Kohen considered to be Muchzak? Why is he considered to be Muchzak on it? Muchzak implies that he actually already is the owner of it. That's why his Bechor gets a double portion, because he's already Muchzak on it. So what exactly is going on right now? How are we to understand this? So Ktos understands that in fact there is a chiddush about the idea of Muchzak. The idea of Muchzak is that once something is going to, it's essentially destined for you. It's something which you're going to get. Even though right now it's not yet in your property, if something is almost like guaranteed to be coming to you, that's enough to be called muchzak for the halachas of Yerusha. That's enough to be called muchzak for the halachas of Yerusha. So according to the Ktzos, the chiddush of Makire Kahuna is not a chiddush about Kinyanim. It's a chiddush about what are our standards, about the basics of muchzak for bechor. Muchzak for bechor. And muchzak for bechor, the Ktos understands, even if there's no kinyan, that would be good enough. So Ktos says, as an example, the Ktos mechades, it's machlokas haposkim, the Ktos says, if I would take a shvua, that I'm going to give you an object, if I take a shvua that I'm going to give you an object, that's also good enough to make you the muchzak for Hilchos Yerusha. The Beis Shmuel quotes a machlokas about that, but that's the chiddush of the Ktos. Parentheses, you're going to have to figure out, which I think is Sam's question, you're going to have to figure out, according to that, what's the difference between this Makire Kahuna or a shvua and just a regular obligation called, let's say, Priyas Bachov Mitzvah, you know, some things like that. So you're going to have to argue on some level that there's something more going on, although it's not entirely clear what. I'm going to speak very quickly in brackets right now to answer this question intelligently. If you're with me, great. If not, it's all good. I believe what's actually going on, which relates to Tosfos and everything else, is, and maybe this is even the pshat in the Ktos, The Chiddush is a Chiddush not about Kinyanim in general. The Chiddush is a Chiddush about the nature of what's going on here. And maybe in Makirei Kahuna, it's not that I'm the owner anymore, but nor is the Kohen the full owner. Rather, there's an element of Mixas Bailas. There's an element of partial ownership which is taking place. We are joint owners, not in a classical partnership, but we are nevertheless considered to be joint owners. In what way are we joint owners? So we're joint owners in that I have it on the one end in my property, but I retain some ownership. On the other hand, it's really already essentially his, and I have it, part of our partnership is I have to give it to him. So it's not so clear exactly what it is with Makirei Kahuna, but that's at least one way of going. Let me explain what we saw thus far so we can get to the main part of Shir, which is as follows. There is a halacha called Makirei Kahuna. That halacha called Makirei Kahuna seems to tell us that when I am going, if I always give my manas kahuna to the same kohen, he becomes the owner even before it reaches his hands. How is that so? Mahalach number one, the Rashash for the Rashbam, the Rav Chanan, his reading of Tosfos, I can transfer things even with no maisa. It's all a question of das. Mahalach number two, it's a chiddush that even if you're not the real owner, you're called muchzak for bechor. Maybe really the kohen doesn't become the full owner. Maybe the kohen's not the real owner, just he's enough of the owner, or he's close enough. This is called being muchzak. It's called being muchzak. Has it worked with the din of davar shelo bala olam and things like that? So that's a very fair question. I hope in the first parak of Bav Metzia, if we pick up some progress or maybe start moving, we'll be able to answer that a little bit. Ami, what's up?
According to Rav Chanan's shot and the other person, if you have a Makirei Kahuna, are you allowed to give that Makirei Kahuna to a katan since it's all predicated on das?
Certainly, or even that. Because the Ketzos, certainly maybe. We'll speak about that in a minute. We'll get more into Makirei Kahuna, the Matamas Kahuna point, but certainly. Theo, what's up?
I was just thinking about this whole weird Kinyan. Wouldn't it be much simpler to suggest that it's really like a Kinyan Khalifin and the Kinyan happens at the Half Russia? And the Half Russia is like the symbol for it.
So the answer is, that definitely makes a bit of sense. There's a Me'iri in Baba Basra. The way that he quotes the din, it sounds a little bit closer to you. So it's definitely possible. The only question then would be, what's the Chiddush of Makirei Kahuna? It's probably pretty obvious if I did a Kinyan that he becomes the owner. Like, what's the Chiddush of the din? But that definitely is a fair Svara. Okay. The third Mahalach is to understand things very, very differently. And it begins with the comment of Rashi and Gidin. Some suggest there are elements of this in the Rashbam. Some suggest Rav Warman, amongst others, there are elements of this in Tosfos. And that is the following. If you look at Rashi in Maseches Gidin, so Rashi says as follows, how does it work? Since the Enarugah Lafseis Chumos Amayisos El LeKohen Zeh, since I normally give it, Rashi and Gidin Daf Lamed Amid Aleph, since I normally give a Manas Kahuna to this Kohen, since it is obvious that I'm going to give it to him, Ashi Lehu Shar Kohani Da'atayu, Vavi Kiman De Matu Liadayu Dehani. All the other Kohanim relinquish ownership. They all relinquish ownership. And because they relinquish ownership, it ends up belonging to this guy. What does Rashi mean? What seems to be going on here? What does he mean that because I always give it to one Kohen, all the other Kohanim relinquish ownership? So what's really going on? So many of the Achronim suggest, the Stipler and Kilas Yaakov and others, that what Rashi is built on is one of the Mahalchim that we saw yesterday. The Makirei Kahuna is really a profoundly important Chiddush about the nature of Matnas Kahuna. And that once you separate Matnas Kahuna, it already all belongs to the Kohanim. It already all belongs to the Kohanim, to the Shevet of the Kohanim, to all of them. And therefore, what is Makirei Kahuna doing? It's not a Chiddush that I can transfer to you without a Maisa Kinyan. Makirei Kahuna is, since everybody knows that it already goes, it always goes to you, so once I separate it, once it belongs to the Kohanim as a whole, the rest of them relinquish ownership, and Mimela, you're left as the only owner. In that sense, the Chiddush for the stipler and for others, the Devar Avram, is that Makime Kahuna is not that I'm giving it to you. Makime Kahuna is by nature of our relationship that once the Manas Kahuna already belonged to everyone, similar to the Chuvas HaRashma from yesterday. I'm not giving you anything, it already belongs to you. So what Makime Kahuna says is, because we have a close relationship, everyone else already relinquishes ownership, and you are the only one that remains. You become the owner, Mimela. You become the owner, Mimela, because it was Mamon HaShevet, and this is what we are left with. This is what we are left with. That is the pshat of the stipler and others. Clarity on that? 1, 2, and 3. So Sam would note that if you look in the Shevis Yosef, Rav Warman, and Chelik Aleph, so Rav Warman has a long discussion about this Mahalach in general. Because Rav Warman points out a couple of Ha'aras and Achronim. There is something very intriguing about this idea. The problem is, does it really stand up? If you say that all of the Kohanim are owners of it, just the rest of them relinquish ownership because they know where it's always going, in many ways the idea is working based on Mechila, Lechora, based on Mechila. What does Mechila mean? Mechila is the rest of them are giving up their access. That Manas Kahuna, they're Mesich Das, they remove themselves, and the Mela belongs to the Kohen. But points out Rav Warman, but is that even true for there are Kohanim who are Kitanim, and Kitanim are Lav B'nei Mechila. Kitanim are Lav B'nei Mechila. They can't relinquish ownership. Kohanim don't have the requisite Das to relinquish ownership. So is it really true that there's a Hesech Hadas taking place? Is it really true there's a Mechila and these guys are just left with being the only owner? Is that actually the case? Not so clear, not so fast that that's actually the case. Once that is the reality, you have to get a little bit fancier. It's like a built-in, it's so clear that sometimes in Halacha almost, even though no one was actually Mochel, it's like there's a built-in mechila on the level of batla daita etzakol adam. Like, it's so obvious, and it's so clear, it's as if we know everyone we meisich das. That also goes back to the yeyesh shlomi das, yeyesh shlomi, you know, when we can presume, based on someone's behavior, what they would and wouldn't be thinking. It relates to in bav metzia, ona'a, pachos mishtus, if you overcharge someone less than a sixth. So the halacha is, you get to keep the money and the sale is good. And somebody showed him explain it's because there's a built-in mechila. It doesn't mean a person's actually mochel, but sometimes it's so clear, like everyone sort of removes themselves, even if they didn't, it's like an umdena demuchach. It's so implicitly there, it's like an implicit mechila. Lewis correctly points out, it's like the Tosfos in Baba Bat, in Baba Tzia, which we saw, was mechilas hashibud, that bizman hazad, there's like a built-in mechila on the shibud nechasim for certain loans. That's the reality. That's how it works. There's a built-in mechila which takes place. That's one way of understanding the unique nature of Manas Kahuna. Reb Chaim Ozer in the Achiezer, and Agav Rav Warman, I think, believes, as do some others, that many of the Rishonim agree with this Mahalach as a whole. Reb Chaim Ozer in Achiezer has a different pshat, where he suggests that the Chiddush of Makirei Kahuna is a chiddush about the Matnas Kahuna, but in a bit of a different direction. Says the Rav Chaim Ozer in Chelek Beis Simon Mem Zayin. He explains Rashi and Ginnim based on something else, based on the comment of the Ketzos. What is the nature of Matnas Kahuna? Why are the Kohanim getting these Matanos? So yesterday we raised a bit of a question. Is it because of their inherent Kedusha and some of these items are Kadosh? Is it for another reason? So the Ketzos develops an idea. It's based on Psukim and Parshas Korach. There's a beautiful Or HaChaim that maybe we'll speak about a different time. There are an important Or HaChaim. Where the Ketzos suggests that maybe the reason why Kohanim get Manas Kahuna is Chelef Avodasa. It's a form of payment. They work for us in the Beis HaMikdash. And because they work for us in the Beis HaMikdash, so we have a responsibility in Achrayas to pay them for the work that they do. Chelef Avodasam, in lieu of their work, of their Avoda, we pay them. The halacha is, says of Chaim Ozer, is based on the Ketzos and Reish Mem Gimel also, that when it comes to, and in many ways then, we view payment of Manas Kahuna to be similar, and here's above Metziah topic also, to Schiris Poalim, to paying your workers, to paying your workers. The halacha is, says of Chaim Ozer, at least in certain contexts, that when you're regularly paying your workers, Schiris Poalim doesn't require a kinyan. They already get access. They already become owners of the money because they're entitled to it. A certain kind of obligation kicks in. Schiris Poalim does not always require a kinyan. Says Reb Chaim Ozer, I'll read to you right now. He says, Hezbrat Dvarim, Imanas Kehuna Havichilef Avodasam, Vavik Schiris Poalim She'ain Sarach Kinyan. It's like they are Schiris Poalim, and there's no need for a kinyan. Therefore, as follows, ordinarily, it's not dedicated to one person. So there's no payment because which kohen is it going to go to? But when everyone else backtracks, and everyone else is mesich das, and everyone else removes themselves from it, so then it's ki'ilu I'm actually paying directly this particular kohen that I always give it to. Chelef avodasam, it becomes like he is the actual owner, because it's not paying him. So whereas some Rishonim and Achronim think the din of Makirei Kehuna is a Chiddush in Kinyanim, or what's called Muchzak for Yerusha, there are a variety of Rishonim, it appears, and certainly Achronim that maintain, the din of Makirei Kehuna tells us something important about Manas Kehuna. Either that it belongs to all the Kohanim in advance, I'm not really giving it, like Shuvas HaRashba, or that the payment is more analogous to me paying Kohanim for the work that they do. That seems to be the way that it works. That seems to be the way that it is it's understood. We have 4 minutes. It's first general clarity before Nafkamina. But general clarity, 1, 2, and... Okay. I'll give you a quick Nafkamina for whatever it's worth. The Gemara in Chulin and Daf Kuflamin wonders, what's the halacha if a guy separated truma? And I come over and I mazik the truma before it goes to the Kohen. What's the din? So the halacha is, the Gemara tells us that I'm not chayav, either because of a gezeiras hakasav, or one day in the Gemara, because it is what's called mamon she'ein lo tovim. There's no particular Kohen that could say, you damaged my truma, therefore you're chayav to me. So it's almost like a loophole. I don't have to pay anyone for damaging matnas kehuna. Because again, one day in the Gemara and Chulin, it's mamon she'ein lo tovim. There's no specific or particular Kohen that can claim, I'm entitled to it, I deserve it. So therefore, even though I damaged it, and on some level, maybe I even should be chayav to the Kohanim, maybe, what can I do? You know, lemaisa, on the end of the day, there's no particular Kohen who can claim it, and therefore I need not pay for damaging Matnas Kehuna that have not yet been delivered. Tosfos and the Ran and Chulin have a machlokas. Is there any inyan, latzeis yedei shamayim, to be extra machmir and to pay off anyway? That's a bit of a machlokas. Wonders is a wonderful sefer when you learn Meseches Bechoros called the Maharit Al-Ghazi. The Maharit Al-Ghazi often gets quoted when you learn Meseches Bechoros, a very, very important sefer. So he actually raises the following question. What's the halacha of the following case? I always give my truma to Rav Yamer. I always do. And someone damages my truma before it gets delivered. Mazik makirei kehuna. Mazik makirei kehuna. Are you chayef to pay Rav Yamer? Are you chayef to pay him money or not? So what would we suggest? L'chora, we would say as follows. If you learn, like the first Mahalach, that the Rav Yamer really becomes the owner of the Manas Kehuna, even though I did not actually give it to him with a Maisa, but Das Kinyan's enough to make him the owner. So when you damage the Truma, you damaged Rav Yamer's Truma, you got to pay him back. It's already his. Similarly for the last Mahalach, if you understand that it's really a Chiddush in the Matnos Kehuna, that either it already belongs to the Kohen, the rest remove their connection and only is belonging right now to Rav Yamer, everyone else removed ownership. or that because he's my Poel, it's as if there's no Kinyan or it belongs to him, so too there. If you damage the object, you have to pay him. It already belongs to him. But if you learn, like the Ksosis Pshat in Tosfos, that in Makire Kahuna, Rav Yamber's not actually the owner yet. He's just enough Muchzak that the Bechor gets Pishnayim. But he's not actually the owner. So then it's possible that if you're Mazik, Makire Kahuna, you would not actually have to pay because it doesn't actually belong yet to a Kohen, and it's items that are just like any other Manas Kahuna where you need not actually pay, you not actually damage anyone's actual property. Let me chazer what we said out today. Tomorrow, or we'll probably start next time with going through individual Makire Kahuna, Manas Kahuna. But we spoke about, I guess, yesterday and today, a little bit of introduction to the idea of Matnas Kahuna. There are 24 gifts that we give Kohanim. Those gifts, the Kohanim themselves are special. They're extra kadosh. They also have dinim in the mikdash, dinim outside the mikdash that establishes their unique role. And they're Matnas Kahuna that we give in the mikdash, in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, anywhere. There are all distinctions and differences in many ways that exist. One of the things that we pointed out are really two ideas. Number one, what's the relationship between me and the Kohen? When does he become the owner of the Manas Kahuna? Does it go through Hashem in the middle? Is he already the owner before I give it? And the second idea we saw today a little bit was this idea that comes from the Achiezer, Chelef Avodasa, giving someone something when he is already as a Poel. He's like my worker, and that's why he is able to get it. So that was a little bit of Parsha now. But that at least is a bit of an introduction to Manas Kahuna. I will speak next time, again, Be'ezras Hashem, going through individual ones.